Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to have you with us on this December the 3rd, or if you're on the East Coast and the Central Time Zone, it's now December the 4th, and I will wish you a good morning. Well, lots going on. My email's been going crazy in many ways, as is everyone's, and I have been getting a lot of questions from some folks as to what I think is going on with this draft issue that's been bantied about on the internet. And, you know, are we going to war? Is there going to be another war? And I do have some strong feelings about that. However, I'm not going to talk about that on tonight's show. I will be a guest on Greg Evenson's Voices from the Heartland, which airs on Saturday afternoons, East Coast time, 1 p.m. or 10 Pacific in the morning, every Saturday on Republic Broadcasting Network. Now, I'm not trying to discourage anyone from listening to any shows on BBS Radio. However, this is going to be a two-hour interview where I will be the guest on Greg's show. And Greg is a former Kansas State trooper and also worked with the Secret Service. And he and I have become good friends. He has been on Evident Footprints and will be again, hopefully soon. And we're going to tackle a bunch of issues. We're going to tackle the issue of this birth certificate that has not been produced, or the documentation from Barack Obama. And we're going to discuss that. We may have had by that time some kind of decision made by the Supreme Court as to whether or not to allow the proceedings to go a step further. This is a constitutional issue. Regardless of who you voted for in the election, we do have laws set up that one must be a natural-born citizen in the United States to become its leader. That is a law. I didn't make that law, and I don't think anyone in my listening audience and for generations back, any of us did, but that law has been on the books from the beginning. And for some reason now, it's not important. And we're witnessing the destruction of our nation, the loss of jobs, the loss of homes, people out on the streets or living in tent communities. Most of you don't hear about this. We don't talk about that enough on this show. But I hope to tackle some of those topics, because we've got people that have lost their homes, lost their jobs. Forget about, do they have internet? They don't have a place to live. If they still own an automobile, they get some shelter. They might have the ability to move from place to place, but if they don't have income, they probably can't afford to even put gasoline and start the automobile up. If it gets cold at night or hot during the day, they don't have the luxury of the heat or the air conditioning, can't listen to the radio. And imagine yourselves being in that position. So this is a serious issue, what is happening to regular Americans, people who have helped build this country their whole lives, and they've been left out literally on the street with their families. And so we'll be talking about some of those issues on Greg's Voices of the Heartland this Saturday, again at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 Pacific, 10 a.m. Pacific. And I'm on Greg's show once every month to 6 weeks. Actually, I think it's been about that long now since I have been on his show. I think it was on toward the beginning of November, just before the election. That is an issue. That is a constitutional issue. And so we're going to discuss that. There are rumors about a draft that I'm not really in a position to dispel, but I can tell everyone that the Congress has not passed any law right now honoring this massive draft. We're hearing rumors that men and women from the age of 18 up to 42 might be drafted. It sounds like someone's planning a war, and we're not going to buy into the fear right now. Not enough things have happened. There has been reports that 20,000 U.S. troops are going to be reassigned to what is called the Northern Command. What that means, one doesn't know, but there's going to be a lot of public dissension over collapsing of the banks. Again, I'm going to stress to the listening audience, you're not hearing the truth on the mainstream media about why the banks are failing. And you're not hearing the truth about a lot of things that are going on around the world. This event in India that took place is what we call a false flag event, and it has all the earmarks of a false flag event. It means it was created to stir up animosity amongst the people. The governments know very well what's going on, and the intelligence agencies, and they're the ones that are behind all this. So you have a group of young men who have really done a masterful job of orchestrating attacks on people in hotels, and it doesn't take too much planning, but they certainly had the weaponry and they had the wherewithal to carry this out. Unfortunately, hundreds of people were killed and more were injured, and these things are done to foment animosity between the countries. The listening audience may recall that several weeks ago I alluded to the fact that because Barack Obama had gone to Pakistan, watch out, something's going to happen in India. And it did. And I had no information other than discerning why he would even go there. And I'd like to add that he is not our president-elect right now because the delegates have not elected him to be the president-elect. So he's not elected yet. If we had a very honest election, chances are he would not have been elected. But the listening audience that has voted for him is going to say, well, there was a landslide. Well, they can make it look like a landslide. They've done that with many elections. If you recall what the media was saying even the day before the election, it was a neck-and-neck race. Of course, can we believe what the media says anyway? This is what you're seeing really is a tug of war between Illuminati factions in foreign governments. Who's going to control who? So this is a struggle between those that are the controllers. And if you've listened ever to David Icke or Jordan Maxwell or John Coleman, if you've read any of their works, they talk about the same thing. So this is not something new that I'm bringing up here. This is what you learn from studying the Illuminati, studying the secret societies, studying the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, on and on. The UN is playing a big role in stepping out of the boundaries of what their original intent was, at least in terms of what the public was told. But it's quite obvious that the UN was created to create a one-world government. Now, that wouldn't be so bad if everyone had an equal opportunity to own a home, have some vocation, earn a decent living, live a happy life. But these people are bent on making us work for them, making the masses work for a handful of people. And that's what slavery is about. And it's in direct conflict with our universal sovereignty. If you feel like you're being pressured by this matrix that we're living in, well, welcome to the party. Maybe you're waking up. Maybe you'll start to see that that our sovereignty is a God-given gift. And there's nothing that our leaders, our governments, have given us except illness, sickness, disease, starvation, and death. That's they're not our protectors. That's the last thing they have in mind. If that was the case, you wouldn't have these banking scandals going on. You wouldn't have people being thrown out of their homes. The government wouldn't allow that to happen if the government was doing what it's supposed to be doing. So let's not be in denial about this, and let's talk about it. Let's consider it, and let's do something about it. We have the power to do something about it. That's what these shows are about, is to bring everyone, really, to a consciousness about what is actually going on. Now, I want to continue with what we've been talking about the last few shows. And if I have a chance, I'd like to read something afterwards about one of the secret societies. It's not a terribly long piece, but it's kind of interesting because when you take into account what I'm going to be reading tonight and what I have talked about in recent times, this all makes sense. This all plays into the puzzle pieces, and it makes sense why these secret groups are constantly vying for the planetary control. Ultimately, it's about us remembering who we are, choosing who or what we are going to be in life, and then setting about to accomplish that. And really, that benefits the world, that in a very positive way. We lift the vibration of the world. So these teachings are about bringing light to the world and bringing consciousness, a higher consciousness, an awareness, and an awakening, so that we can fulfill our oaths or fulfill our purpose in life. You be the judge of that, Mike, as far as your own life is concerned. I'm going to read from issue 2 of the Phoenix Journal from August 7th, 1989. This message specifically came through on Monday at 4 p.m. Many healings. When Emmanuel came down from the mountain, many of the people followed him, and behold, a leper came and fell on his knees before him and spoke, "Lord, if thou will, please make me clean." And Emmanuel reached out his hand and touched the leper and said, "I will do it. Be clean." And soon he was completely cleansed of leprosy. Then Emmanuel spoke to him, "See to it that you do not tell anyone of this, but go forth and show yourself to a priest, for you were healed through the power of spirit and through the wisdom of knowledge." Emmanuel then went on to Capernaum, where an autocrat approached him with a request, saying, "Lord, my servant lies at home with a gout and is suffering terribly. Lord, I have heard your new teaching, and I believe in your wisdom, which says that the spirit of man can perform miracles through the knowledge of the truth." Emmanuel responded to him, "I shall come to him and make him well." The autocrat answered and spoke, "Lord, I am not worthy that you enter under my roof, but speak only one word, and my servant will be well. For I too am a captain, and am subject to authority. I have soldiers under me, and when I say to one of them, go away, he goes away, and to the other, come here, and he comes here, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Emmanuel heard this, he was astonished and spoke to those who followed him. Verily, I say to you, I have never found such faith in anyone in Israel, but I say to you, many will come from the east and west, from south and north, and they shall understand my teaching and recognize its wisdom in knowledge. But the children of Israel shall be expelled into darkness, and there shall be wailing and grinding of teeth. The false teaching of Israel will bring bloodshed throughout millennia, for the power-hungry selfishness and self-glorification of Israel will bring death and destruction throughout the land and throughout the entire world. Turn away from the false teaching of the ruling power and their scribes, for they only bring destruction to generations of human races. Israel believes itself to be chosen, or to be the chosen people. By no means, because they are more rebellious and incredulous than the unknowing who lack the secret of the laws and act in ignorance. Again, Emmanuel spoke to the captain, go and it be done to you as you believed. The servant was well that very hour. Then Emmanuel came into the house of Peter and saw that his mother-in-law was bedded with a great fever. He took her hand, and the fever left her instantly. She rose from her bed and served him. In the evening, many were brought to him who were possessed, and he drove out the spirits of evil through his word and made all that were sick well, so that the words of the prophet Isaiah would be fulfilled, who said, he brought to us the new teaching of knowledge and took upon himself our weakeners, and he healed our sick and infirm. Then, as Emmanuel was by the river, he saw many people pressing around and about him. He asked to be taken to the other bank. A scribe came to him and said, Master, I will follow wherever you go. Emmanuel spoke to him, the foxes have hollows and the birds under the sky have nests, but I have nothing from where I can put my head, nothing firm where I can put my head. I have the mission to preach wisdom and knowledge, and therefore I am wandering restless through the lands. Another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me to go and bury my father who has just died. This was as they were to depart the city upon a journey. But Emmanuel said to him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. As he came to the other bank near the people of Gadarene, two that were possessed rushed towards him. They came out of the place of tombs, for they were so very dangerous that no one could walk on the street where they were now treading. Behold, they screamed and bellowed from within, what do you want from us, you son of Gabriel, the celestial son? Have you come to torture us before the time has come? And the evil spirits within them asked him, Lord, if you would expel us, let us go into the herd of swine which is grazing over yon way, for we have no other place to go. Emmanuel demanded, drive into them. And the evil spirits went into the swine, and behold, the herd of swine hurled themselves into the waters of the river and were drowned. The swine herders fled and went into the town and told everything that had happened to the ones possessed. And behold, the whole of the townspeople went out to meet Emmanuel, and when they caught up to him, they asked him to leave the area, for they were in great fear and confusion. Therefore, he boarded his boat and went again into his own town. There, they brought to him a man who had gout. He was lying on a bed. When Emmanuel saw their faith, he spoke to the man with the gout, be comforted, for your faith in the power of my spirit and your faith in my teaching of wisdom, which is the teaching of nature and the creation, has helped you. Emmanuel was most weary, for he was never in aloneness that he might rest of his body. Always depressive crowds were upon him. And all who came were not of faith and came forth to cause trouble. Some of the scribes stirred up the speech among the people. This man blasphemes God and our holy teachings. But since Emmanuel understood their thoughts, he spoke. Why do you think such wicked thoughts against your better knowledge? Yet what is easier to say? Your faith has helped you, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you know that I am a man just as you, but that I know how to use the power of my spirit through my knowledge. Therefore, I command the man with the gout, get up, pick up your bed, and go ye home. The man got up, picked up his bedding, and went forth to his home. When the people saw that, they were afraid and praised the new teaching of Emmanuel, which gave such power to men. Matthew's call. As Emmanuel went away, he saw a man sitting at the customs office named Matthew, and he spoke to him. Follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. And it happened when he sat at the table at home, many customs officers and ignorant people and those who were seeking the truth came and sat at the table with Emmanuel and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw that, they spoke to his disciples. Why does your master eat with the customs officers and the ignorant? Emmanuel heard this and responded, those who are healthy do not need a doctor, but the sick do. And the knowing do not need the teachings, but the ignorant do. And those who were not falsely taught do not need the teachings, but those who were falsely taught do. Now, go and raise the falsity of the erroneous teachings, lest you mislead those people who thirst for the truth. On fasting. Some of the disciples of John the Baptist came to him and said, Lord, why do we fast and the Pharisees, you and your disciples, do not? Emmanuel spoke to them. How can the ignorant fast and suffer while they are taught knowledge? And how can the teacher fast when he has to teach knowledge to the ignorant? Verily, I say to you, your teachings are wrong if you fast according to the law of a cult. Fasting serves only the health of the body and the cultivation of the spirit. No one mends an old dress by using a new patch, because the patch will come off again from the dress, and the rip will become worse. Nor does one pour new wine into old skins, or the skins will tear and the wine is spilled. But one pours fresh wine into new skins, and they shall both be preserved. More healings. And when he talked with them this way, behold, one of the chiefs of the community came to him and fell down before him, saying, my daughter just died, but please come and put your hand on her, and she will live. Emmanuel got up, and his disciples followed him, and behold, a woman who had had an issue of blood for 12 years stepped up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. She had spoken to herself, saying, if I could only touch his garment, I would become well. Emmanuel turned about and saw her, and he said, be comforted, for your faith has helped you. The woman was well from that hour. When he came to the house of the chief and saw the fife players and crowds of people, he said, go away, for the young girl is not dead, but asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people had been expelled from the house, Emmanuel went within and took the young girl by her hands and said, I command you, get up and walk. The young girl got up, rose to her feet and walked. The news filled the whole country. As Emmanuel went away from there, a blind man followed and cried, O Lord, Son of wisdom and knowledge, who knows how to use the power of your spirit, have mercy on me. As Emmanuel approached him, he queried of him, do you believe that I can do such a thing? And he replied, yes, Lord. Emmanuel touched his eyes and said, be it done to you according to your faith. His eyes were open, and he had vision. Emmanuel warned him to go forth and see to it that no one learn of what had happened. But the man went out and spread the news throughout the whole countryside. When this one had gone, they brought him two people who were mute and possessed. And the evil spirits were driven out, and the mute spoke. And the people were amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. How powerful must be this new teaching about the power of the Spirit be to enable it to perform such miracles? But the Pharisees said, he drives out evil spirits through their chief, and he mocks God, our Lord. However, among themselves they said, who is this Emmanuel who possesses greater wisdom and knowledge than we? His teachings are more powerful and more accurate than are ours. This endangers us. Therefore, we must try and catch him so that he may die. Emmanuel continued to go around into all the cities and villages and preached in the synagogues the secret of the creation and the laws of nature so that the spirit would attain omnipotence. He preached about the spiritual kingdom in man, and he healed all sickness and infirmities. More labors for the harvest. When he saw the people, he took great pity on them, for they were parched and scattered like a herd of sheep without a shepherd. He was greatly saddened, and he spoke to his disciples. The harvest is great, but there are only a few laborers to bring it in. Seek and pray in your spirit so that more laborers will be found for the harvest. And it happened that they found laborers for the harvest, who gathered around Emmanuel and his disciples. Now, I want to let that sink in for a moment into your spirit before we open up with another topic, and we're going to take a short break. You are listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio. I'm Don Nikoloff, and I'll be back in a couple of minutes, so don't go away.
Storable food. Storable food. HempUSA.org has an inexpensive, nutritionally dense, high-frequency food. Hemp, known around the world, will boost your immune system and increase energy levels. Detoxifies the body and reduces junk food cravings. Burns fat and builds muscle. And is easy to digest, non-allergenic, and gluten-free. Can be made into smoothies, breads, muffins, pancakes, cookies, you name it. The entire planet should make this a staple food in their diet. The seeds will scrape the colon wall. The powder will feed the body vital minerals. And the oil interior walls and feed the brain. Try our powder, seeds, and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org. That's 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. Remember, vacuum packaging this food will have at least a 5-year shelf life stored in a cool, dark, dry place. Holidays are coming, and this would make a perfect gift for friends and family. Call today, 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its 9th year of addressing issues that freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
And we are back with Evident Footprints. Welcome. If you just joined us, I've been sharing chapter 4 of a document that was written on August 7th, 1989. This was a message from the individual who is historically known as Jesus Christ, although he defines his name in Judas Iscariot, who was a scribe, contrary to what's written in the Bible, actually was one of his best friends and did not betray him. And the account that I was reading in the first half hour is both the words of Jesus from him directly as well as from the transcriptions. Now, what's interesting is many of you who know the Bible will recognize that the stories I was reading are just like what's in the Bible, with some exception. The wording has changed. Wherever he says truth of wisdom has been changed into the word belief or believing or believer or believed. And they use that same word in the Matrix. Now, I'm not going to be reading more from this tonight for obvious reasons, because I want to talk about how this plays into something that we can use in our everyday lives. There is a conviction every time someone addressed him to be healed. They asked for healing. They had a conviction and a simplicity in the words that they used. They were certain that they would be healed, that they had witnessed these healings. So we have great reason to believe that these are not just stories, but that they actually occurred. Secondly, the fact that he was able to recognize each sick person's infirmity is one issue, and that he was able to discern their faith was another. It wasn't an issue of, well, you know, this is a pretty tough disease you have here. Science, the medicine, you know, the medical community hasn't figured out a cure for this disease. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull this off. I mean, you really have to help us out here now. Imagine having a disease, a blood disease, for 12 years. And that could be an infection, or that could have been something similar to leukemia, although the cancers are more recent diseases. They have likely been the result of alien technologies adapted to our medical system. And there are natural cures for cancer, and every time someone comes out with a cure, they lose their license or they are murdered. And this is all in pursuit of dollars for the pharmaceutical companies and the big payoffs that the politicians and those down the line get. It's always a situation of follow the money. And in the words expressed at the end of this chapter 4, there was concern that the miracles that Emmanuel was performing, which were really just acts of faith, they were according to the laws of nature and the laws of the creation, supported by truth of wisdom, or wisdom of the truth. Quite simple. There's not any big mystery behind that, and yet, because of how we're taught, how we're conditioned. When we're born, if you're born in the traditional hospital with a doctor and a staff of nurses, you get a smack on the rear end, and that's your welcome into the world. You're brought into compliance right away. Now, the majority of newborns tend to cry, and we're told that starts the breathing process. But you're punished from the first moment that you enter the world. somehow corporal punishment's allowed at the very first second you open your eyes on this planet, but now they're frowning upon it, that it's inhumane. It's inhumane for parents or the guardians of children. It might be grandparents or an aunt or an uncle or someone that has taken over the guardianship, the upbringing of one or more children due to a variety of circumstances. And yet it's okay for them when they grow up to go out and murder others in what are called acts of war that we're told are necessary for freedom. Yet those that go fight these wars are told that they have to go fight these wars, that it's for our security. Yet where is the security for those who are being killed in these wars? And it's really quite senseless when you think about it. I don't know how many of the listening audience actually spend any time meditating or thinking about some of these concepts during the day. We're so busy with other things, and we're so busy paying attention to sports and TV shows and acquiring more toys, more products, more consumer goods. You're programmed into spending your money because someone else is going to receive it. And the amount of money you have to spend always goes up. It never goes down. If it goes down, it's because it's a product that they're trying to get rid of because they're coming out with something more expensive. So they want to capitalize. Every moment they want more, more and more and more and more and more. And there's never a point where they're satisfied or satiated. It's an unquenchable thirst, an insatiable appetite for power, for absolute power. And yet, God is the only one in the universe that has absolute power, even over them. And many of you will ask, well, why does God, if God is a loving God, why does God allow all this to play out? Why would he send Emmanuel here to raise the consciousness of mankind? And you heard in his own words, he equated himself to a man, although spiritually he was very advanced. They actually had to prepare him, as we heard in prior shows, in the earlier chapters of this piece that I was reading tonight. They had to keep him or teach him how to stay in the physical body. He was too advanced. And so when he spoke, he was speaking the most fundamental of universal truths. This wasn't anything terribly advanced, yet it was new, or it was something that those of us who were here in bodies had forgotten or were unaware of. Because in the spirit, you know these things. And you have, let's say, a temporary amnesia while you're here on the planet, experiencing life, hopefully making wise decisions, making better decisions all the time, which are taking you to a higher state of consciousness, a higher state of understanding, a higher state of wisdom. And it's through the consciousness and the wisdom and the understanding that you eliminate fear, which is paralyzing, really. And today, the symptoms of this earth, of this world, and it's designed that way by those that have been in control, the symptoms are what we're experiencing. And they do this in cycles. The Illuminati do this in cycles for very good reason. They have basically 13 families, although there are more that participate in their activities. There are 13 traditional families. And those families have changed over time. And they struggle all the time for supremacy within that own organization. And it's a secret organization. We're not supposed to know about it. Yet they flaunt their materials and their propaganda and their ideas and their intentions and their black magic. They flaunt all this in front of us. Because there's a sort of sadistic glee that they get from thinking that we are too stupid, and many of us are, or too ignorant to figure out what's going on. All we have to do is pay attention and use our discernment, which is within us. It's not something someone is going to gift us. It's already been gifted by God. You're not going to get it from your government. They can't pass a law. They can't write a book that's going to make that happen. It's already within you. Hopefully, when you read a book or you listen to a show like this or do some research, do some prayer, do some meditation, consider these things and start acting in your own way. There's no right way and wrong way other than doing something other than sitting on your duff. You can't help but find the path to enlightenment. And I mean real enlightenment, not of the abuse and the misuse of these higher principles that we're talking about. See, these people would like to see their God, who is Satan, or their God, which is sometimes referred to as the devil, or just a negative force, a black force, a force absent of light, absent of goodness, absent of joy and peace. It's their voice, their God, is the author of lies and deception, and that's what we're experiencing. That's all we experience on a daily basis. I hear people every day say, I can't believe how the government lies, or the politicians lie, or the bank lies. I have some friends that recently went into banks and asked certain questions about how safe their money is, and, oh yeah, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is going to back all this. Why, if that's the case, why do they have to bail out the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation? Where did that money go? Why do they have to, now it's up to minimal $25,000 a person for the over 300 million Americans, not counting the illegal aliens that have come into the country that are further leeching off of the work, the blood, sweat, and tears of millions of people, many who are not even able to collect their pension funds. They've lost their 401ks or their retirement packages. We depend on those things because we're told that they're going to be there. You pay into Social Security, but the Social Security money's been stolen. I mean, where does the money go? Where does it go? They collect the money on these home payments, and when somebody stops paying long enough, they take the home away and they start the game over again. Yet, if you knew what was going on, if you really knew what they were doing with that, you would be outraged. And you're waiting for me to tell you what it is they do. And I'm sure there's got to be somebody in the listening audience that knows someone who's lost their home or is about to lose their home. And what are you doing to help them? Or are you just sitting back in fear, hoping it doesn't happen to you? And what you need to see, what we must wake up to, is the fact that this is being done by design. This has been planned to happen. And so where is that going to leave us? What are we, or who are we? Well, there was a time when you were alive when you didn't own a home, when you left the nest of your parents' home, and you went out and you looked for a place to live, and you maybe had to spend some time. Maybe you got lucky and found a place, rented an apartment or rented a house, or found some people that wanted to help share in the expense so that you could get a house together. There's always somebody willing to make money, so you can usually find a house to rent or an apartment. And as long as you show yourself to be somewhat responsible, they'll tolerate a little bit of wear and tear on the house because they're making enough money that they can keep up with the repairs. Or they get rid of you. You're out on the street. So if you haven't been out on the street, you don't really know what it is. If you end up out on the street, how are you going to react? What are you going to do? How are you going to become empowered? Is that going to be the moment that's finally going to push you off the fence and say, now I know what I heard when I was listening to that Evident Footprint show or some other show where people were talking about the things that we take for granted because we have become so dependent upon artificial stimulation of our senses, entertainment. I'm in the music business. I write music, I compose music, I arrange music, I play, I perform, I teach, I produce on different levels. And to me, music has always been an art form. There's always a message in it, at least in the music that I have been involved with. And I've always made it the point, it doesn't matter what the style of the music is, it's an issue of someone speaking from the heart, communicating an idea or a thought or an emotion to someone else. And it should be done in the highest fashion. It should be uplifting. It should raise one's consciousness. Yet people are more satisfied and actually respond more favorably to music that dumbs them down, that lowers their vibration, that brings them into a lower state of consciousness. Because to be numbed, to be in denial of what's going on the planet is much, much easier, at least for the moment, until you ultimately have to make that decision. And someday you will. Someday we all will. Someday, because we have allowed things to get the way they are, we're going to have to make a decision about where we're going to go, what we're going to eat, or where we're going to find our next meal, and where we might be able to lay our head down. In this story I read about Jesus, he didn't have a place. He said, I don't have a home. I don't have a regular place. A hard place, he described it, to put his head down. He was always on the move. There were those that wanted him dead. Why? Because he had a message of truth, and that threatened those that want to control everyone else. So even 2,000 years ago, this was going on. And another 11,000 to 13,000 more years it was going on all over this planet. And there have always been wars to sort of sort things out. You know, we don't have enough money. Let's start a war and let's create some money. Let's go rob some people, kill a few million, take their things. Then they're ours. And why do they do it? Because they can. And that's a reason for that to happen? Yet somehow we tolerate that. Somehow we buy into any story, any excuse they give us for starting a war, for going and murdering others. Now, when it affects you directly, when they start coming over here doing the things that we're doing in Iraq or Afghanistan or India or South Ossetia or Somalia or Rwanda or certain countries in South America, I mean, it's going on all over the world. But the media doesn't let you know because this is the last bastion of freedom on the planet, the United States of America. And if we knew what was going on, we would awaken. They don't want us to be awakened. This message tonight is threatening to their cause. But they figure, well, who's Don Nikoloff, who's Evident Footprints? Oh, there aren't that many people listening. You know, this goes on all day. I mean, there's some shows millions of people are listening to. You know, we can flip a switch when we have to. We can send lots of spam and phishing emails. We can threaten people, you know, and that's going to stop it. But you know what, folks? There's a lot more of us than there are of them. And what you do put out comes back. What they're putting out is going to come back and bite them in the rear end someday. Hopefully sooner than later. It will, because that's how the universe was created. Now, I had mentioned that I might talk about scones. I have a piece here. I'm wondering if I have enough time. I'm going to try to read this to you. This is pretty interesting because this describes who these people are. And I want to give a shout out before I read this to a group who has been faithfully listening to Evident Footprints ever since it's been on the air. I want to say hello to Karen, Bob, and Bill, David Crenshaw, Zachariah, Sheila, Sylvia, and last but not least, Jill. And the general, thank you for listening in. Thanks to all the folks that have been sending me emails around the country. I am trying to see if I can convince a few of your suggested guests to come on the show and grace us with their knowledge and their wisdom. So I'll be working on that. Okay, this piece comes from the BurlingtonNews.net. And it's called Skull and Bones. One very powerful secret society operates under the name of Skulls and Bones. Now, I think it should say Skull and Bones, but I'm reading it how it's written. Many have heard of it. Some have accepted and even laughed over how seriously some of us react to a silly college initiation practice, never ever understanding fully the significance of the society, the powers of the ritual, and the transference of power through initiation into shepherdhood. From the initiation forward, an oath is taken among the brotherhood of complete loyalty to not only the brothers, but to the agenda of the shepherd kings and the Saurian lordships. From that initiation forward, the one initiated symbolically dies to the people of the world, and is born again into their sacred allegiance. According to Dr. John Coleman, World Intelligence Review, the ancient Babylonian serpent cult, or what is known today as the Illuminati, 33rd degree Freemasonry, is under the direct control of some very nefarious forces. Coleman, in fact, provides much evidence that 33rd degree Masonry has been used not only to infiltrate and take over many political, economic, and religious institutions, but has also been used to create such institutions and organizations to which people will flock and submit their power and energies to unknowingly serve an agenda that they know nothing about. This was and is carried out through the 22 Palladium Lodges, which, according to various sources, can be traced back to the Grand Masonic Lodge in England. According to Coleman and many others, the Grand Masters of Masonry and of Jesuitism i.e. the Illuminati, are working together in this conspiracy. In many cases, the individuals involved are both Jesuits and Masonic initiates. And I have to agree with that, by the way. Other revealing works of this nature can be found in the writings of former 33rd degree Mason and former past master of all Scottish Rite Masonic bodies, the Reverend Jim Shaw. In Shaw's book, The Deadly Deception, he exposes the secret worship and rituals taking place within the Masonic House of the Temple in Washington, D.C. Mix this with the accounts of Masonic street outlays, such as the Pentagram built into Washington, D.C., and the many accounts of tunnels beneath the city connecting federal buildings to extreme underground depths and distances, anyone with an eye to see must acknowledge that something very strange and sinister is going on linking the nation's capital with the underground world and the occult societies. The fundamental difference between a new world order under the United Nations and an independent United States are nowhere more clearly indicated than in our Declaration of Independence affirmation that men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. The UN's total exclusion of God means that rights do not come from God, but that they proceed from government and government can take them away. Skull and Bones reaches to all the leaders around the world, and this may explain Bush's obsessive support of China, regardless of the human rights violations and arsenal buildup. Skull and Bones is a secret fraternity at Yale University, which restricts their membership to only 15 per year. The society was formed in 1832 by General William Russell, whose shipping firm later dominated the U.S. side of the China opium trade. Yale University was founded by Eli Yale, who made his fortune working for the opium-smuggling British East India Company. That's interesting because I've written about that company in some of my genealogical studies that are available at directlightproductions.com. Click on articles and you can read into some of that. Skull and Bones became the recruiting grounds and preserve of the most important New England-centered families, families who had also made their money in the opium trade. These families, whose sons regularly joined Skull and Bones, include the little-known but powerful Coffins, Sloans, Tafts, Bundys, Paynes, and Whitneys. They are a dominant element of the U.S. Eastern establishment to this day. The Bush family is one of a cluster of lower-level establishment families controlled by these interests. By the way, Barack Obama's grandparents on his mother's side, his maternal grandmother, Madeline Lee Payne. Now, going on, George Bush, the first U.S. diplomatic representative to the People's Republic of China back in 1973, was a member of Skull and Bones. So was his father, brother, son, uncle, nephew, and several cousins. Winston Lord, the Reagan-Bush administration ambassador to China, was a member. So was his father and several other relatives. James Lilly, the current ambassador to China, is a member of Skull and Bones, as was his brother. With the exception during the Carter administration, every U.S. ambassador to Beijing since Kissinger's deal with Mao Zedong was a member of the Skull and Bones. In 1903, Yale Divinity School established a number of schools and hospitals throughout China that were collectively known as Yale in China. It has been shown that Yale in China was an intelligence network whose purpose was to destroy the Republican movement of Sun Yat-sen on behalf of the Anglo-American establishment. The Anglo-American establishment hated Sun because he wanted to develop China. On the other hand, they loved the Chinese communists because they intended to keep China backward and were committed to the production of drugs. One of Yale in China's most important students was Mao Zedong. During World War II, Yale in China was a primary instrument used by the U.S. establishment and its Office of Strategic Services, OSS, to install the Maoists into power. Yale in China was run by OSS operative Reuben Holden, the husband of Bush's cousin, and also a member of Skull and Bones. The Maoists made China into the world's largest opium producer. Yale in China was also closely associated with the New York-based Union Theological Seminary, which has been a center for U.S. subversion of Asia. According to Branton wrote the Dulcie Papers, for example, they were literally wolves in sheep's clothing. Every prominent radical leader operating in Korea today was trained at Union Theological. Union Theological was dominated for 20 years by Henry Sloan Coffin, a U.S. intelligence executive from the Sloan and Coffin families. He was a Skull and Bones member, as were a dozen of his relatives. Nor should it be forgotten that Averill Harriman, the former ambassador to Moscow, who did so much to build up the Soviet Union, was a member of Skull and Bones. Harriman was also a business partner of Prescott Bush Sr., the father of Maoist enthusiast George Bush. According to geopolitical and economics researcher Dr. Anthony Sutton in his book, The Patriot Review, not only did the Skull and Bones help to build up the communist movement in China, but they gave financial aid to the Soviet Union communists as well. This power cult has for centuries been playing a two ends against the middle type of game, attempting to control America, the thesis, and Russia, the antithesis, of other countries or movements, carefully pitting them against each other at the lower levels in order to keep the populations of the world in a state of confusion and despair to the point that they will hopefully resign themselves into accepting the New World Order synthesis as the only alternative to solve the very problems which they, the New World Order initiators, created in the first place. Now, there's a few other paragraphs to read on this, but I'm told by Seth that we have Joe Church on the line. Joe, are you with us?
Don,
hello, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Don. How are you?
Oh, I'm hunky-dory this evening, as you can tell. I'm trying to bring sort of an ancient and a recent modern-day perspective as to what's going on.
And you're doing an excellent job.
Well, thank you. Do you have a comment or a question tonight, Joe?
A couple of quick points, Don. You mentioned earlier about Judas. And I'd just like to say in Acts chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, men and brethren, this scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us. In other words, he was one of the 12 chosen from the first world age.
Mm-hmm.
And had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. You see, he had a lot of help when he died. When you hang yourself, your bowels don't gush out. And dead men don't tell stories.
Yes. Well, the ancient writings that describe this scenario have pointed out that there was another Judas, but it wasn't Iscariot, it was Huscariot, and his father was a well-known politician in those days, and very wealthy. And so I'm just reporting it as it's been written. I'll leave it up to the listeners to make their own decision on that. But to me, what I've been reading makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. Yes, it does. It sure does. One other point, Don, of what you were saying before that I'd like to touch on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting about verse 5. that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world age. I add world age because in the Greek that's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Nor of the princes of this world, world age, that came to naught. You see, this is what their ultimate end is, of this world age.
Yes.
The kings of this world age. They're going to come to naught. But we speak of the wisdom of God and the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God hath ordained before the world age, in the first world age, unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world, the kings of this world, knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. See, the kings of this earth crucified the Lord of glory. They must fulfill the negative part of the Father's plan.
Yes. My understanding, and it was actually in the first part that I read of this this very interesting piece of literature that the Phoenix Journal published back in 1989, alludes to the fact that that this is part of God's plan. However, it also alludes to the manner in which the scripture has been taken out of the good book of the Bible, and that these were political decisions made by kings, you know, King James, for instance, or popes. And I guess it, you could say all the way back to the time of Constantine, this became ever more obscured and disempowering. And I'm not saying there is no truth in the Bible. You and I both know that there are several important books that have been taken out because they reveal the truth, which you yourself brought up at the very beginning of your interview on my show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it was, wasn't it about 15 days ago you were on Evident Footprints?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and we want to have you on again, too. I'll be contacting you to get you on and maybe share some more of your abduction, if any of that is coming through.
Yes. Yeah.
See, these are difficult subjects for a lot of people to grasp, yet they're spellbinding at the same time. You know, I've not been abducted. I always wondered why. I have a very clear understanding of why now, and I'm quite fortunate that I haven't been. Your abduction has led you and brought you closer to God than many people will ever get in their whole lifetime. And I know that for the past 30 years, that's been your experience at least. So there is a higher power, whether anyone wants to believe that or not. we both experienced it in a certain way, in our own unique ways.
That's it. You know,
go ahead.
You know, I was telling John from Massachusetts the other day.
Mm-hmm.
We're close friends. We're good friends. And we just met recently in the last couple of years. And, well, there's even a story within that. But, you know, I was telling him, I said, you know, everybody's understanding of the scriptures, there's certain things that are going to grab them and take because of their past lives. And because of your past life, you're a specialist in that particular area. So when you come to the deeper truth, the third level of understanding in the scriptures, it will show you the expertise that you have. It'll bring it out. Pages will come right out of the book for you.
Mm-hmm.
And hit you right in the face, and you'll say, wow, that's what that was all about. that's why I had to go through that, because I had to be an expert in the field. Whether it was music, whether it was baseball, whether it was some other alcoholism, something else, you are now an expert in the field, and when you come to the understanding why Father allowed you to go through this, you have reached the ability to bring healing to others through the scriptures. With the scripture added into the mix, you're able to bring it through to somebody and actually heal that individually, both on a physical level and a spiritual level simultaneously. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the word was spoken and there was light. Yet the light created the word. You know, it's an interesting dichotomy.
And you know, in the Epistle of John, he says, in the beginning was the Word. That word was logos in Greek. It means the written word, the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Not of this age, but the beginning of time. You see, the word, the written word, the true written word, was written in the first world age. It existed then. And the word became flesh in this age. And that's why the kings and the scribes that try to trip him up, he was the walking, living flesh word in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The true understanding of the scriptures. And they were trying to trip him up at what they had read.
Yes.
That's such an amazing thing to me when I look at that. I say, wow, he was the walking, living word, and they were trying to trip him up.
And, you know, Joe, I always resented the fact that there was this mysterious 40 days and 40 nights of wandering through the wilderness, as if somehow he was less than who he was. This is the only way that they could attempt to hide the truth from us. And the account in this work that I was reading, and I've read this in other places. I've known this for a good 30 years, that he was helped, he was assisted by those who could help him to stay in the body. He was so advanced. He was of such a high vibration, a godly essence, that it was difficult for him to stay within the body.
Right.
So he, in that sense, even with all of his knowledge, all of his wisdom, and his discernment, and his living in the eternal now, he had to really take counsel of those that could help him stay in that body long enough to carry out his mission. It's a fascinating concept. And I talk to people all the time that tell me now that they're feeling like they're not here. You know, they feel themselves going into a higher consciousness, and they really don't want to be around this stuff that we're experiencing every day.
Yeah.
I go through that myself.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do too.
He did it for us.
Yes.
And so too those that follow him will do it for us. Our people.
Well, yeah, and he said that we would do that. And I recall the scripture where he says that there are those that will perform even greater miracles.
Sure.
So those days are upon us now. Do you agree with me on that?
Oh, definitely. He said that. It is not ye that speak, but I that speak through you.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, we hear ourselves talk and we say, wow, did I just say that? Sometimes it's not us speaking.
Oh, yeah, that's happening to me tonight. That happens to me every night when I do a monologue on this show. It's that spirit that speaks to me before I go on the air. Or while I'm booking my guests, I'll hear that voice from within telling me, don't book a guest for this night. There's a special message coming through. And I have no idea sometimes when I'm on the air, I have no idea what I'm going to say until my mouth opens up.
That's right. That's
But I get encouragement from, like you mentioned, John in Massachusetts. John has written me a number of emails thanking me for the message, and I guess, you know, it's that wow moment for me, you know, because I'm in another place.
Sure.
Often, you know, that the spirit takes over, and you just speak totally from the heart.
And, you know, he says, my sheep know my voice. And sometimes you can hear his voice through somebody.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. I can say that about my listening audience. I get really incredible emails from people all over the country, even from outside the country. I've gotten email from Venezuela, from China, Europe, Canada, and people are all saying the same things. And it's very humbling to know that people are actually taking the time to address what's said on the show.
And you know, it says that in the end times, as the end draws nearer, Don, as we see events come closer to the end of the age, that he's going to call his elect the four corners of the earth. So what you're experiencing there, you're going to see multiplied a hundredfold. There'll be many coming from the four corners of the earth to this place of understanding, which is known as the kingdom of heaven. You see, the kingdom of heaven is not a place that you go to. You can't go left and right to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place of understanding.
Oh, yes. That's very true. So when you say it's going to increase a hundredfold, you don't mean I'm going to get 100 times the email.
Well, I don't know how exactly it's going to work, but you can see it already starting now, Doc.
Yeah.
When the word goes out, the true word, it comes back manyfold. Some, all depending on who the person is as to how it will come back.
But, yeah. Well, Joe, we're out of time. I hate to cut you off. This is interesting. I could go on for another hour or two, but we got to let the guys close up the shop tonight. So I want to thank you for calling in, and I'll be in touch with you. We'd like to have you on the show again in December. So if you're willing, I am, and I'm sure the listening audience is. So thank you so much for your call, and you have a good I guess it's morning now for us, right? So,
right. Thank you for being there, Don.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Joe Church, and I'm going to have him on the show pretty soon. Maybe as soon as next week, is his time and his schedule permitting. Well, we've come to the conclusion of another show. I'm going to finish that piece I was reading on Skull and Bones tomorrow. There's just a few more paragraphs. These things have been in play for a long time, and whether I read something that's several thousand years old or read something from the news today, it makes sense to those who are discerning, those who are really taking the time to understand what's going on. This is not about fear. This is about awakening to truth and making it become alive, make it be part of your life. It's very empowering. And when you wake up to the truth, and it's an everyday experience, and I'm hearing this from many listeners, that the truth they're hearing on the show is changing their lives. I'm thankful for that, and I'm going to continue to offer some solutions and some means of understanding things. Not always from the same perspective. We have to keep an open mind. We have to open our hearts and learn to listen with the heart. Learn to speak from the heart. And we'll come to an understanding of who we are. It's inevitable. And shut off that boob tube. I'm going to say goodnight to everyone now. Special thanks go out to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and Seth Hendrick on the sound and the extra time tonight. Seth, thank you. In the meantime, to my listening audience, thank you for tuning in. Tune in again tomorrow. Have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.